Everybody, welcome to Steelers.com live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews, joined today by Mike Prisuta of the DVE Morning Show and Steelers.com and Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. It is Thursday. We are joining you for our weekly show throughout the offseason. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Missy. Starting to thaw out here a little bit. Temperatures reached double digits today in western Pennsylvania. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, I might go get some sun after we're done taping this show.
All right, well, last week we did tell you that Mike Munchak was hired, and we have another new addition to the Steelers coaching staff. Of course, already announced earlier this week, but James Saxton will be the team's new running backs coach. Of course, we did play the Minnesota Vikings in London. He was there, as well as Adrian Peterson, who he's had some great history with these past few years, and guys, seems to be a good fit for this offense.
Yeah, definitely, Missy. I mean, the offensive staff, I think, has kind of been energized here over the past, you know, week to 10 days by these two additions. You know, Mike Munchak comes to this team as a Hall of Fame offensive lineman, a well-respected position coach, and he has head coach experience in this league. So getting a man of his caliber, his pedigree, to come here as the offensive line coach, I think, is a real coup for the Steelers. And then the addition of James Saxton, you know, everything I've heard about James Saxton is that everywhere he's been, he has been really well liked and respected. And, you know, when you look at the Steelers' situation there, I just think it was time for the team and Kirby Wilson to part ways. Kirby Wilson was a member of Mike Tomlin's original staff that came here in 2007. And Kirby Wilson had some ambitions to become a coordinator. That was not going to happen here, at least not in the foreseeable future. And so because of that, I just think it was kind of a good thing for him to try and reach his aspirations somewhere else. The addition of James Saxton, I think, is really going to help Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, and the way they replaced Kirby Wilson so quickly, that tells me, A, that they're not surprised they had to go looking for a running backs coach, and B, they probably settled on James Saxton a while ago. So you turn the page, as you mentioned, Lab, probably time to move on, given what both parties want from the position. And the Steelers have done so, and onward and upward.
A little fun fact now, there are three members of the Steelers offensive coaching staff who have coached all pro running backs. Of course, Mike Munchak when he was in Tennessee with
Chris Johnson.
And then there was Todd Haley, who was in Kansas City with Jamaal Charles. James Saxton, as we've already mentioned, with Adrian Peterson. So kind of exciting, Labs, like you said, to see something to build off from the 2013, the way the running game ended.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, James Saxton was responsible for Adrian Peterson's greatness any more than Todd Haley was responsible for what Jamaal Charles accomplished, or Mike Munchak was solely responsible for what Chris Johnson accomplished. But what I like about this is that the Steelers now have three coaches on their offensive staff who have been around highly successful running backs as individuals, and they also understand what a highly successful running attack can do for an offense. You know, when you look at the Steelers' ranking in rushing, you know, the last couple of years, tied for 27th this year, 26th in 2012, 14th in 2011. You know, since the merger in 1970, the Steelers have rushed for more yards than any team in the NFL and by a significant amount. It's time for the Steelers, I think, to get back to doing what they have done well in the past again. I'm not saying that we're going to the single wing here. Everybody out there in the Twitter sphere, relax. This is not Woody Hayes' offense. I'm not taking the ball out of Ben's hands. But, Mike, when the running game works, what's that they use?
Play action.
Play action.
Hang on.
Yes.
What was that? Hashtag 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah,
is that what?
Right. There you go.
It's not that. You're right. But it's important to run the football. Everybody knows that. I think the playoffs this year have re-emphasized that in the eyes of a lot of people. And beyond that, you look at what's been invested in the offensive line and the running back position of late, with the high draft picks invested in people such as David DeCastro, Mike Pouncey, Marcus Gilbert, Mike Adams. We know all the names by now, right? Le'Veon Bell was a second-round pick. It's time to get the most out of all these guys and get them doing that voodoo that they do so well, or at least potentially do so well.
Because then that'll help Ben Roethlisberger do the voodoo that he does so well as well.
And, Mike, it hasn't been said publicly, but with the addition of Munchak, you have to assume the Steelers might try to go back to that zone-blocking scheme that they tried to implement last offseason. Is that kind of what you would assume as well?
Yeah, Labs and I were kicking this around on one of our many programs. I forget which one because we do so many, and it's all good quality work, believe me. But the word I had gotten as the season was ending from players and people on kind of that level of the pay scale was that, yeah, they were going to go back to it. Now, Bob, maybe you've heard something from somebody higher up officially. I have not, but it is my suspicion and supposition that they will go back to the outside zone. They got a couple things they got to fix before they get back to it. Mike Munchak would appear to be the outside zone doctor.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked to Mike Tomlin about this in training camp, and I asked him, you know, the Steelers in the history of the franchise have always run the football power running, and you know, this switch to this zone scheme. I asked him, why did you decide to do this? And he pointed to his center. He said, Marquise Pouncey is why we're doing this. He is an athletic, mobile kind of guy, and the outside zone scheme can take advantage of some of his unique skills. And so because of that, that's why they went to it. As a result, when he went down on the eighth play of the season opener, that you signed Fernando Velasco, who we've talked about did a really good job, but that was not Velasco's forte. And so you can only do, you know, what your guys can do, especially when you're changing on the fly like that. And so that's why the team got away from a lot of the outside zone scheme. I really never got into it much when the regular season started because of the injury to Marquise Pouncey. So, yes, definitely with Pouncey expected to be healthy for the start of the 2014 season, you have Mike Munchak, the outside zone scheme doctor. You also have David DeCastro, who's an athletic mobile player. Mike Adams and Marcus Gilbert, you know, not exactly nimble guys, but for their size, they move okay. Yes, I definitely think the Steelers will go back to that, and I think we'll finally get a chance to see it work.
And one of those guys might make it work, Adams or Gilbert, whoever winds up being the right tackle, because that's a key spot in that outside zone scheme. That's where the cutbacks come from a lot of the time. So if they can get that figured out along with the rest of it, it does have a lot of potential. I agree with you.
All right, let's move on to the Super Bowl. It is Super Bowl week in the New York and New Jersey area. Let's talk about weather because, of course, being from Pittsburgh, not in it, that's what we have to talk about, right? Hoping that it's not what we want it to be. But, Labs, we did take a look at the forecast. Mid-40s would be the high. Low, upper 20s would be the low. No precipitation. There we go. Having a hard day here. So, Mike, I know you said last week this would be kind of ideal football weather.
Yeah, I was actually hoping there would be some precipitation. I was hoping there would be some white stuff or maybe some wet stuff. I don't want anything like Steelers-Miami a couple of years ago where
it just paralyzes
the game and the field becomes a quagmire. But I like football in the elements. I think that's part of the test. And I've said this many times. If you can have an AFC championship game between the Steelers and the Patriots in that weather we had here in 2001, it was pretty cold that night, if you remember. Why can you not play the championship game, which is only one level higher than the conference championship game?
You really want to know the answer to that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, because at the conference championship game, the people sitting in the stands are season ticket holders of that team in that city. At the Super Bowl, they're the CEOs, the big shots of all the corporations that throw all the money at Roger Goodell in the NFL and make that business the billion-dollar business that it is. That is why. Now,
so they're not going to buy advertising if they're a little cold at the game?
No, they don't want to sit in those. That's right. You don't want to tick those people off. The people who decide, yeah, how many of those $4 million 30-second commercial spots are we going to buy for this game? Those are not the people you want to have cold fingers, and especially not those people's wives or husbands, depending upon whether the executives are men or women, because those are the people that come to the game for the party and those kind of things that want it to be what they want it to be.
All right, well, no surprises on who is in there, the number one ranked offense versus the number one ranked defense. We will start with the Denver Broncos. And Labs, just seems like obviously Peyton Manning getting a lot of attention this week, but there are some X factors on this team.
Yeah, there are. And just a couple of things about Peyton Manning. I mean, we've always talked about what a maniacal preparation guy he is.
That's why he's the great Peyton Manning.
But there was, during one of his media periods during the week leading up to the game, Peyton Manning, if he wins, everyone knows this, if he wins, he will become the first quarterback in NFL history to win Super Bowls as a starting quarterback with two different teams. So Peyton Manning gets the question, of course you know this, and then they get around to the question, do you know who the other two quarterbacks are in the history of the Super Bowl era to have started for two different teams in these games? And he immediately said, yes, Craig Morton and Kurt Warner. Now, I didn't know those for sure. Kurt Warner, I probably could have gotten after a couple of minutes thinking about it. I couldn't have pulled Craig Morton's name out of a hat in a half an hour. So,
Red Miller probably wishes he never did.
But that's a little Peyton Manning story. You know, if you're wondering if he's prepared,
he's on his details.
He's on his details, no question about it. And the most important statistic or factor in this game, in my opinion, in terms of what Peyton Manning is concerned about is the weather report that Missy read earlier in this segment.
Not well.
Not so much about the precipitation, but the wind. No wind. I like the Broncos because I think that Peyton Manning will do what he does.
Well, I saw Eli Manning on GMA the other day, and he said that if it is going to be windy and cold, he's going to give Peyton some tips.
Yeah, I don't know that he might give him some tips. He's not going to help that arm strength any, though.
Those are the same tips he was using all year this year.
I hope not. Yeah, 21
picks.
He
threw a few picks, didn't he?
Yeah, 21, I think it was.
Good thing he had all those tips.
Well, speaking of picks, Mike, I know when we were kind of brainstorming for this show, you brought up one of the most infamous picks probably of Peyton Manning's career when he was with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, this is one I can't get past, and I'm sure deep in his heart of hearts, Peyton Manning can't get past. This is when I thought Peyton was going to win his second Super Bowl. I was convinced of it. Uh-oh! Threw it to the wrong guy at the wrong time, and there he goes. Touchdown, you lose. I'm not saying that Denver's going to lose the game in this fashion, but what I'm saying is even the great Peyton Manning is human. And that Seattle defense, guys, it's very, very good. Have you heard about the Seattle defense? Fewest points allowed this year, fewest yards allowed this year. Fourth matchup between the number one point scoring team against the team that allowed the fewest points in the league. The defense has won three of those four previous matchups. I'm going defense again. I got a 50-50
and
shot.
And there's one other statistic about that Seattle defense that also ranked number one in the league, plus 20 turnover ratio. And that's huge.
All right, well, leading up to this Super Bowl on Saturday, actually, will be the Hall of Fame 2014 class. We know there are 15 finalists, and Jerome Bettis, of course, is one of them. So we will find out on Saturday if he makes the cut. Guys, it seems like just from hearing different interviews and analysis throughout the week that hopefully it's this year, but he's kind of one of those guys that will get in if it's not this year.
I spoke with one of the guys on the board of selectors, Jeff Legwald from ESPN.com Denver, and that was his opinion. He said he'd be a little bit surprised if it happened this year, but Jeff thinks that Jerome has made the final 15 enough times now that it's inevitable that he will someday get through the door. It's just a question of fitting him in, given the other class. He did make a great point. You know, they have that meeting every year before the Super Bowl, all the selectors on Saturday. And he said he walks out of that thing every year with his stomach in knots because you've told 10 guys you're not getting in, and they're never sure they're right when they tell somebody no because it's that close.
Yeah, it is. And, the Jerome's candidacy, to me, is I agree. I would agree with Jeff Legwald in this sense. To me, Jerome Bettis, is a Hall of Fame player. I believe that, greatness can be defined in a lot of different ways. You know, one of the ways that greatness is defined is if someone is a dominant or the dominant player of his era. But I also think that greatness also comes from years and years of sustained excellence. One of the things, let me just use a musical analogy. Jimi Hendrix is a great guitar player, but to me, Eric Clapton is greater because he was great for longer. And so I think that you need to look at duration of excellence as well. And Jerome, for a guy his size, 13 years in the league, doing what he's doing there, as you see, there wasn't a lot of running out of bounds in Jerome Bettis' career. And I don't know.
I'm still wild by that guitarist analogy.
You like that,
that
one?
That was impressive. Although I would tell you that I think Hendrix is Gale Sayers. Great enough over a short period of time that he gets into.
I didn't say he didn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just talking about that I think that you have to look at someone who is great over a long period and give him that. You know, take your hat off and hand it to him, as Hines Ward would say.
Clapton would probably put it on.
All right, well, that is going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live. Thanks so much for joining you. For Bob and Mike, I'm Missy. We'll see you next week, and I promise I will do better at the weather.
There will be a lot of participation.
See you next time.